The following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCAST.com.
The Force is strong with us, and we hope it is strong with you. Welcome to another edition of the New Jedi Archives with Zach Hagenbusher and Ben Schultz.
Hello, Zach.
Hello, Ben.
How are you today?
Oh, I am ecstatic. You know why?
I can guess.
We are 2 days away from a brand new Star Wars film in theaters.
48 hours.
Our third film in 3 years.
It's a long stretch from the drought we had before.
Exactly. From the decade where we thought we were never going to get another movie again, all the way to now, where we're about to get the second installment of the sequel trilogy.
You damn kids don't know how it was back in my day.
Back in my day, you had to wait for a Star Wars movie all your goddamn life.
And then we had to walk to the movie theater uphill both ways.
And then we had to sit there and watch Jar Jar.
It was hell, I tell you, hell.
You may as well have been walking barefoot.
That's right, in a snowstorm.
Well, we are going to talk a little bit about The Last Jedi today, and by a little bit, I mean a lot. We're going to take a look at what we think we know so far, and I say what we think we know, because really, everything up to this point is speculation. Even trailers can be crafted to seem a certain way.
From a certain point of view,
and the point of view that we have right now, as of this recording, is one that has not seen the movie yet. So, hopefully,
that's because it doesn't come out for 2 days.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, hopefully you can go and you can listen to this as sort of a time capsule of, okay, so this was the world before The Last Jedi, and then we'll have the world after.
Can you believe what those two idiots thought about the movie before it came out?
Exactly, what a bunch of assholes. I can't believe we ever listened to them. And speaking of, thank you for listening on the Galactic Network, on Spreaker.com, on iTunes, Google Play, whatever you use, Stitcher Radio, whatever you use to listen to your podcasts, we thank you for making us a part of your regular library, and we're here every other Tuesday. We've only got one more episode this year, even.
Wow.
Of the entirety of 2017. It's been a really cool year, I think, and we'll reminisce about that some other time. Right now, we got to talk about The Last Jedi, right?
I think we should.
Okay. Here's what we think we know about Star Wars The Last Jedi. Rey, last time we saw her, she was handing off a lightsaber to none other than Luke Skywalker.
What is up with Luke's hand?
That's his hand.
Well, no. I understand it looks really cool, like mechanically, but it's a downgrade from the hand he got at the end of Empire.
Well, no, it's just the skin on the hand is gone. That's my theory, because remember in Jedi, he gets shot in that hand.
Oh, okay.
And before he puts the glove on it, you can see underneath the mechanics of the mechanical hand. So I believe that it's strongly been suggested that his hand is, it's just this, the fake skin that was over the top of it is just gone now. And it's just the mechanical hand underneath.
Okay. He didn't get new skin?
Apparently not. Maybe he didn't want it. Maybe he felt like it didn't belong anymore. He wanted to be reminded of his hand being gone.
Maybe it got burned off by Kylo and he didn't fix it to remind him of his failure.
It could have. Rey is attempting, well, we know, at least we think we know. I suppose I should just say we know from now on. We know that Rey at least makes an attempt to train with Luke. That Luke seems to make an attempt to train Rey in lightsaber combat, in meditation, you know, a couple different ways on the planet Octo, which we have also heard is from Han Solo, is the place where the Jedi originated, essentially. The place of the first Jedi Temple.
Somewhere off the coast of Ireland?
Yes. But he appears to reject her at some point, going as far to say that the Jedi must end.
Is that statement a rejection of her?
Well, I think it's a rejection of the idea of the Jedi, but he rejects her by saying, I saw this power once before. Well, okay, we're led to believe that he's rejecting her when he says, I saw this power once before, and
I wasn't afraid of it then,
but I am now. I guess my question to you, Ben, is what power do you think he's referring to there?
Well, if you're talking about the power that he saw before and didn't fear, I'm sure that's Kylo.
Right, that's my thought too. I've heard a lot of conversation in the other Star Wars fan podcast universe.
There's other Star Wars podcasts?
There are, actually, and I listened to a couple of them. A lot of people seem to be convinced that he's talking about, like, the Emperor. He's talking about Palpatine. But that doesn't seem to make much sense to me, because of course he would be afraid of that power, right?
Or he's an idiot.
I mean, he was wormy.
But he's also...
some dumb farm boy.
But he's also Mark Hamill, who's a badass.
Okay. That doesn't really have anything to do with Luke Skywalker.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. I got you. So that's how we're going to play this.
That's right. I'm a fan, so he's okay.
Well, I think it couldn't be anybody other than Kylo. Well, I've also heard that it could be Snoke, and that could be too. He appears to be quite powerful.
So then you're saying, well, then who's he talking about now? Because the thing is, whoever he's talking about two comparable power levels.
I think it's Rey.
Right, but so you're saying Rey is on par with Snoke then?
I mean, who knows, man. But I guess the most likely scenario to me seems to be Kylo and Rey. He's talking about his nephew as the power that he should have been afraid of but was not.
And his niece?
No. I don't think so. I don't think Rey is his niece. I don't think Rey is related to him at all.
I don't know. The head of the story group did an interview a while back where she said the Star Wars saga is about the Skywalker family.
Okay.
This is still a saga film.
Yes, it is.
And I think if Rey and Kylo ended up being related and they were two twins or siblings separated, that would mirror the Luke and Leia.
Okay. Well, I need to point out that they are different ages.
Kylo
is significantly older than Rey.
Maybe they're not twins. Maybe they're just siblings, and Leia was like, Kylo's a bad influence on Rey. We need to drop her off with an alien with a vaguely British accent on a desert planet.
I thought about the possibility that Rey may have, or that Rey may be Leia's child, but not Han's child. That maybe Leia had a relationship with somebody else, or an affair
Clovis.
Of some kind. It's Rush Clovis in some sort of weird
Lando.
Fucking fantasy.
Lando!
Come on, Leia. You know you've loved me this whole time. Also, you need to get me a Colt 45 from the fridge, because I'm thirsty over here.
We can't, Lando.
We can't.
I'm a politician.
Exactly. No, but in all seriousness, that would mean... that would really throw off the timeline a bit, because I think that Han and Leia officially separated when Kylo went off the deep end.
Well, maybe they...
And that didn't happen until after Rey had been born, so...
Right, but we know Rey's mom dropped her off on the planet. Maybe the final straw...
Well, we don't know who dropped Rey off on
it looked like a vaguely feminine hand to me. Because we see the hand that was walking with her. Somebody was holding her hand.
Sure, okay.
So maybe that was the straw that separated... The thing that was just too much for Han and Leia's relationship to handle.
Well, but Han does not make... It is thrown in our face immediately in Force Awakens, pretty much. You know, within that first half hour...
Yeah, Han would know Rey then.
Right. It's thrown in our face, and within the first half hour, oh, your father, Han Solo. You know what I mean? Han would have said something.
But if it's Leia's kid but not Han's, maybe Han didn't know. Maybe Han left because she was pregnant.
But how would Leia Admiral have Ackbar's possibly kid. Known? Okay, that's what I'm saying. The timeline doesn't make any sense. Rey would have to be younger than she is, and she's not. So I don't think that Rey is a Skywalker. But I do think that she is linked to Snoke in a significant way.
Okay.
I think that he knows who she is and what she is, and I think Kylo obviously knows who she is and what she is.
What girl?
And perhaps they attempted to hide her to avoid any kind of influence that might go upon her.
Oh, you think...
Until they were ready to train her themselves.
You think Snoke and Kylo hid Rey?
I mean, they definitely knew where she was, right?
Kylo, I don't know if they knew where she was.
I think they did. Kylo is very angry when he hears about a girl discovered on Jakku helping Finn and BB-8 escape. He seems to immediately get an idea of who that girl could be. So I think he at least had a hand in her being placed there. I've heard a couple different theories that way, and I am pretty firm in my belief that she is not a Skywalker or a Solo, because we would know that by now.
Hmm.
You're not convinced.
I just have a hard time believing that the saga is not gonna... Well, I guess Kylo's a Skywalker, but I don't know. We'll have to see, I guess. I'm just not convinced that Rey's not tied in, because Rey is obviously supposed to be the protagonist.
I don't know. This movie might change that. You never know.
Maybe Finn's the protagonist and it is Lando's.
The trailers have been particularly... They've given service to both Rey and Kylo Ren. I think that this is not like the other trilogies before it. The prequel trilogy was about Anakin. The original trilogy was about Luke. I mean, Darth Vader was the villain of them, but like Luke was the central character. I think that this sequel trilogy, there are two central characters. There's Kylo Ren and there's Rey. And they both have a part to play in how this narrative goes forward. So really, it is still about the Skywalker family.
Oh, we'll see. I'm just not convinced Rey is not part of that clan.
Sure. And we'll find out. The Porgs, penguins with fur, are native to the planet Octo. And they run into Chewbacca at some point. One of them is riding aboard the Millennium Falcon. I've heard some rumors. Oh, and I guess we should have put this at the beginning of the episode. There's plenty of potential spoilers in this episode.
But we don't know, so it's not really a spoiler.
We don't know. We don't know, but we're going to talk about stuff that we've heard, or that we think, or that we, you know, maybe we believe. You know, it... If you don't want to hear anything about The Last Jedi, obviously you should never have started listening to this episode. I mean,
plus, we don't know what the hell we're talking about. So.
No, we really don't. I mean, we probably have a good idea, right?
Well, you probably have a good idea. I'm just winging it.
Okay, great.
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan?
No, because to me, they seem like this movie's, or this... portion of the trilogy's Jar Jar / Ewok.
I would not compare the Ewoks to Jar Jar.
Why? They're the same thing. They're the thing that was put in to market to children.
Yeah, but Jar Jar is like an idiot. He's far more annoying. The Ewoks are like kind of scary teddy bear children.
The Ewoks are malicious.
Yeah, they're malicious. They eat Imperial Stormtroopers.
They plan to eat Leia despite the fact that they speak basic?
No, they didn't want to eat Leia. They're eating Leia's friends. There's a difference. They're eating Luke and Han and seemingly even R2.
But they speak basic.
In the Ewok films that are not canon, yes. One of them, Wicket, the Ewok.
I was
going
to say, the one who's the focal point of the Ewoks in all the movies.
Wicket learns how to speak basic from Sindel. I still say Sindel was the star of those movies. She was great. And if you want to hear about that, you can listen to that episode with our friend Joey. Luke, at one point, does re-enter the Millennium Falcon. We see him in the cockpit as the lights are coming on. Did that moment give you any kind of chills?
I really like that moment. I know this is cross-genre, but it would seem very reminiscent to me of the first time the Doctor snaps his fingers and the TARDIS opens.
Oh, sure.
Luke walking on and the lights coming on. I was like, did he touch? I didn't see him push a button.
I mean, he doesn't look... So, like, you know, Han, when he walked into that cockpit in Force Awakens, he looks wistful. He looks like, aw, man, the best moments of my life were probably spent in this cockpit.
You know what Luke looks like? Luke has the same look on his face that Obi-Wan does when Obi-Wan sees R2. Son of a bitch.
God damn it. Not you again.
Right. Oh. And you know, going in his head, all he can hear is Han go, don't get cocky, kid.
I'm not a kid, I'm an old man. And you can't call me Wormy anymore. I'm Squirmy now. or Dirty. Either way.
Dirty.
Trashy. I don't know. Oldie. No. Moldy. There we go.
Moldy.
He goes from Wormy to Moldy. I think that's his new nickname. Kylo Ren appears to destroy his helmet.
Is that sort him?
Getting rid of it. I mean, he's mostly been seen without it in the promotional material for this movie.
But we see the helmet destroyed. And when we first saw it on screen, I even said, is that Vader's helmet? Because
right.
It was just the parts?
In the original teaser trailer, yeah, it was just the broken pieces of the helmet.
So is that telling us Kylo...
And then in
leaves the Knights of Ren?
In the next trailer, we see him take the helmet and smash it into the wall. So I don't think it's him leaving the Knights of Ren. I think it's maybe him stepping out from that shadow of... He was really only wearing the helmet to be Darth Vader. I mean...
Well, who of us wouldn't?
Exactly. But he was, you know, it added to the mystique. It was like, oh, I'm just like my grandfather, right? I've got this cool helmet, right?
His grandfather was a badass. I would be okay with that.
Oh, I'm not saying that if you're trying to be a bad guy, that your grandfather wouldn't be, you know, if your grandfather was Darth Vader.
I mean, not my grandpa. I'd have to shave my head and chase kids with a broom, but that's not really that cool. But, I mean, if my granddad was a force-choking maniac...
Then you would try to be like him. But I think that this is sort of a step in the right direction for him in the sense that maybe he sees that as, like, who am I trying to fool? I'm not my grandfather. But I can be something more. Like, I can be something different. I can be myself. Even though, ironically, he also is flying his own TIE fighter that looks kind of like his grandfather's, called the TIE Silencer.
What if he's smashing the helmet not to get out from under Vader, but to get out from under Snoke?
That could be, too. Maybe he sees the helmet taking away a part of his own individuality. In that fashion, you know, like in the sense of, oh, you think that I'm not good enough, that I'm, you need to finish my training? Or maybe he does finish his training and he feels he doesn't need it anymore. I don't know.
Or maybe he just wants to not have headgear that restricts his line of sight.
I don't know. He doesn't seem to have any problem seeing in the movies or in Force Awakens. So I think that's a little, I think you're reaching.
No, I'm looking at the physical limitations of the headgear.
Okay.
I mean, he was using the Force to compensate in Force Awakens.
Possible. I feel like we could be getting the full explanation of the destruction of Luke's Jedi Academy in this movie. We see the, you know, Luke busting out of what looks to be collapsed wood of some kind, you know, his mechanical hand, and he pulls himself up to look at a burning building. And we kind of got the tease of that in The Force Awakens when in Rey's vision, when she saw Luke sitting by a fire, you know, in the rain with R2, and then you cut to the Knights of Ren, Kylo, and then assumedly the rest of the Knights of Ren, who are in the rain, just having struck somebody down. We still don't quite know what happened there. I guess, do you think that we will get more of an explanation as to what exactly went down with Kylo Ren and the destruction of the Jedi Academy?
I think we'll get more of an explanation, but I don't necessarily know that we'll get a definitive explanation.
In what way, I guess?
I think we might get bits and pieces of what happened, but I don't know if all the puzzle pieces will be there.
I have heard a criticism of this idea from someone in the past. I think it was on Rebel Force Radio recently. Someone had suggested that if they were to tell that part of the story in like a flashback, essentially, that is not narratively something that like a character is explaining, that they'd be very disappointed because Star Wars doesn't do flashbacks. You know, they do visions and they do a lot of other things, but there's no such thing really as a Star Wars flashback, at least not yet. So he'd be very disappointed if Ryan Johnson were to introduce that now.
But see, I just think it would be such a complicated storyline that they would have to devote to honestly flesh that out, fully flesh it out. They would have to devote too much film time to it. And I think that may impact the story they're trying to tell. So I hope they don't.
This is the longest Star Wars movie. It's clocking in at over 2.5 hours. So that's the longest one ever. It's longer than Revenge of the Sith. So they'll have the time to tell the story they need to tell. Speaking of the possible explanation from Luke's Jedi Academy, Luke has not been seen with his green lightsaber. Now, we know that he has it because he uses it in post Return of the Jedi canon material.
Right.
So he had it at one point. My theory is that the reason why we haven't seen it is because he doesn't have it, because Kylo Ren destroyed it.
See, my theory is we have seen it. It's just red.
Right. It's red now.
Right.
Kylo Ren took the crystal and he bled it to make his own lightsaber. Because he would have had to have done that with someone's.
He could have, in theory, used his own if he found his own crystal.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, because he was training as a Jedi before.
He was, so maybe he used his own. But I think
I think it's better for the story if it's Luke's.
Me too. I mean, because it would be disappointing, I think, for a lot of fans who were looking forward to Luke wielding his lightsaber again. But at the same time, I think it would just be so good narratively that I'm kind of rooting for it to happen now. So I haven't really heard any other theories. Like, that idea seems to be a pretty small one. Like, not a lot of people share that. So hopefully you're hearing that for the first time. That'd be cool. It appears that we will meet Supreme Leader Supreme Leader Snoke in the flesh. And it looks like he may engage directly with Rey. In what situation do you think that could occur?
You know, I'm not really sure. Depending on who and or what Rey is, there could be a wide variety of reasons why Snoke would directly engage her. part of me is still holding out hope that Rey is new Force Jesus.
Is the new chosen one?
Yeah.
But wouldn't that destroy Anakin's status as the chosen one?
Not if...
Plus, doesn't that not matter anymore? If the Jedi are going to die and are no longer a thing, and Rey is going to learn how to use... I'm just projecting here. But Rey might learn how to use the Force in a very different way than any other Force user that we've seen on screen.
If Luke is the reason there are no more Jedis and people use light and dark equally, then I might flip to agree that Luke was the chosen one.
And Luke was the chosen one.
Because then that would be balance to the Force.
Sure. Perhaps. That's something that I think we could get from this movie. Things could get confrontational between Luke and Rey in the rain.
I think they will get confrontational.
Based on that second TV spot, especially when we see Luke down on the ground saying, you know, this is not going to go the way you think, and Rey seemingly igniting that blue lightsaber.
I think there was a cut there that's two different scenes that were pieced
I think
together.
So too, but obviously this is just what we're led to believe. It's all we have to go on right now. But there is another scene though that they show in the that was a 45-second like TV spot, essentially, TV trailer.
Mm-hmm.
The full trailer, they do show Rey climbing out of the water and Luke being there, like waiting for her when she gets out of the water. I just feel like perhaps she was shoved into the water.
There's a couple of scenes where I understand what they're leading me to believe, but I don't necessarily think that that's actually where the story is going. And this is just one of them where I'm not entirely convinced that because that statement, this isn't going to go the way you think it's going to, or whatever he says, implies a very heated confrontation between Luke and Rey. Like, they're combative. And I just don't...
You don't think that'll happen?
I don't think that's going to happen, at least not in that way.
I mean,
I could be wrong.
The biggest thing I think you could say that the trailers were trying to imply is that Rey is going to look to other people for guidance, and one of those people could very well be Kylo Ren himself. I mean, Kylo did offer his hand to Rey, essentially, in The Force Awakens. He said, "You need a teacher. I can show you the ways of the Force." Much like Darth Vader did with Luke, maybe Kylo has plans of his own to dethrone Snoke in some way.
Well, and there's another scene where I'm not entirely sure that, because we see Rey and she says, I'm looking for someone to show me how I fit in all this or whatever. And then we cut to Kylo holding out his hand.
That's what I'm saying.
To somebody. Right. We don't necessarily know it's Rey.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe. The part that impacted me the most, besides some of the things that I thought were really cool design changes, where when Rey is doing her lightsaber exercises and she stops before she hits that rock and breaks part of the cliff.
Well, actually, that breaking of the part of the cliff was part of a different scene where she was meditating.
Oh, okay. Still, the look on Luke's face when he notices that cliff breaking, I was like, oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think that goes into his rejection of her, or appeared rejection of her.
And again, I don't necessarily think that he's going to reject her. I think he's going to take a different approach, because just because he says, I wasn't afraid of it then, I'm afraid of it now, doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to train her. He just may be saying, we need to approach this differently because I thought I could handle it before, and obviously the approach I took before didn't work. Because the other thing is, you're saying Luke Skywalker is turning away an immensely powerful Force user. I mean, Rey's natural force ability, as far as we know, is for natural aptitude stronger than any other character that I can think of in canon. I mean,
I don't know.
Well, Anakin could pod race really well, but Anakin didn't use a Jedi mind trick untrained.
Yeah, okay. Again, yeah. But I've made the case for this before. That's not that far off. Well, again, we've seen Ezra use the Force in huge ways. We've seen Anakin use the Force in huge ways. Luke use the Force in huge ways when they're untrained,
but you're
untapped potential.
But you're talking about a specific calm mind, Jedi mind trick. You know what I mean? We're not talking about a rash explosion of power. That's a finessed ability. That's a level of control that Ezra and Anakin and Luke in those moments, that was when they didn't have control. I just think it's a different, it might not be more, but it's definitely different than any very talented Force user that we've seen before who's been this raw.
This is a Galactic Network podcast.
Hi. Hello. Making a promo is hard. Hey, this is Brad Ludwig from the Adventure Party Podcast. Every Sunday, we talk about board games, card games, role-playing games, reindeer games. Co-host, friend, game designer, and gaming store manager Glenn Bittner reviews a game each week and recommends something to add to your library or game closet setup thing. Our Kickstarter spotlight shines on a game you should back with your hard-earned cash. We've picked successfully backed projects about 95% of the time. I really thought that airport board game from Russia was gonna fly. Oh, shot that percentage right in the We also chat with people who work in the game industry, or we pick an important topic that deals with some aspect of gaming. We welcome you to the Adventure Party.
For more on this Galactic Network podcast, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.
The Resistance is back, and they will carry out a mission on this a seemingly snowy planet called Crate. It looks like Leia will operate some kind of base from there. We do not get any audio sound bites of Leia in these trailers. We get images of her, but she doesn't say anything.
You know, this is really starting to make me think that we're going to mirror a lot of Empire in this movie.
In what fashion?
Well, you've got the dark side person who is shown to... I don't necessarily think they're going to do this, don't get me wrong, but the wizened Jedi reluctantly trains the new young Jedi. The dark side user tries to seduce the Jedi to the dark side. Leia runs a rebel base on a nice planet.
Well, I say snowy because when you see those skimmers or whatever, those ships mm-hmm. with kind of the open cockpit, I mean, when they hit that ground, it turns up red. It's like almost like a dust or a sand or something. So I don't know if that's actually snow. I feel like it could be something else. But I think, I don't know. That's,
somebody's losing a hand. That's all I know.
No, that's I do not want to compare this to Empire at all.
I feel like
they've earned enough trust where you shouldn't automatically feel like this is going to be the Empire Strikes Back over again. You know?
Where did they earn that trust?
I mean, Disney has earned that trust with me for the last, you know, ever since they started making Star Wars content, which would have been back in, like, spring of 2014.
Okay, and what about that led you to believe that they wouldn't be drawing heavily from the previously established movie cycle?
Because they're not dumb, Ben. They know that was probably the biggest criticism of The Force Awakens from fans and critics alike.
I didn't say it was going to be exactly. I just said somebody was losing a hand because it's movie two.
Force Awakens was derivative of the original trilogy, particularly A New Hope. I don't think that they're dumb enough to make another movie that is in that same vein. Obviously, there are going to be echoes because there always will be. Star Wars is Star Wars is Star Wars.
But saying they're not dumb enough to do that is different than saying they earned the trust.
They've earned my trust not to do that. They're smart people.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
I they may not do it because they may not be dumb, but I don't think they've earned me not being concerned. I don't think they've earned the trust that I shouldn't be concerned that they're going to do that. I don't think they've earned that at all. They did Rebels is good, don't get me wrong. But what else have they done that earned our trust?
I mean, they put together two pretty good movies. I mean, I love Force Awakens more than I do Rogue One, but a lot of people really like Rogue One. A lot of people do.
I am not one of those people.
I know. I'm not either. but it was a well-made, looks like Star Wars, sounds like Star Wars story.
Right. I'm not saying this isn't going to look like Star Wars and sound like Star Wars.
It told an important piece of the puzzle, as much as I didn't like the fact that there were pieces of that movie that I thought could have been better. The story was still important enough to tell, and they told it in an original way.
It's not an original way.
In original to Star Wars way.
No.
No?
The Imperial engineer secretly working to plant flaws in the Death Star is literally out of a book. That is obviously not canon anymore, but that happens in Dark Lord Rising. That is not a new idea.
Okay, original to Star Wars film way, in the sense that we've never seen a film like that from Star Wars before. It was a different kind of Star Wars movie that was pretty successful, so...
Well, it's a Star Wars movie. It's going to be pretty successful.
I mean, critically.
The trailers for this one could have been the word Star Wars, the date the movie comes out, and the theme.
I mean, successful from a fan perspective. Again, we're not necessarily in that majority, but it does seem like the majority of people who saw the movie enjoyed it.
But
so.
That also doesn't... But the statement was they earned your trust. They have.
They've earned my trust that they are treating the property seriously, and they're treating it with care. So I trust that they're going to make a well-crafted movie.
Okay.
That's what I trust them to do. That's what I said from the beginning. What do you don't think that they will?
I didn't say I don't think they will. I don't think they've earned that they've done enough to earn me not being skeptical coming in.
Okay. Finn, of course, is back. It looks like he is none the worse for wear from his lightsaber strike up the back from Kylo Ren. Bacta will do you good, I guess, or however they healed him. And he will join forces with a resistance member named Rose Tico, or Tico. Her last name is spelled T-I-C-O. And they're going to go on missions of some kind. We don't really know what those missions are. But we do know that it involves Finn in First Order garb. He may be going undercover in some way. And he winds up fighting Captain Phasma.
Which I'm excited to see more Captain Phasma on screen.
Sure. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that I think it's either the book Phasma or the limited comic series Phasma actually explains... how she got off Starkiller Base, basically, when she was thrown in the trash compactor, or the reason why she broke so easily and why she shut down the shields, that kind of thing, is she comes from a kind of a warrior tribe of people, and survival is her number one priority, even when it comes to the First Order. So if there was a situation where her life was about to be put in danger directly because of serving the First Order, she'll choose her own life before she chooses anything else. So she put down the shields and decided to let them hash it out, and whoever survived deserved to survive. I think that's kind of how she probably saw it. But again, I think that might be something that I heard. I don't know if that's for sure what happens in the book, because I haven't bought the book and I haven't read the book. But is that one that you plan on reading?
I'm not sure. I like the idea of Captain Phasma as a character, and I was kind of upset she didn't get a lot of... she had screen time, but I just wanted more Phasma.
No, I understand. A lot of people did. So she doesn't become, you know, the Boba Fett.
Right, right. I don't want another Boba Fett. We have one Boba Fett, and that's two Boba Fetts too many.
We know that Maz Kanata, played by Lupita Nyong'o, will be back in some capacity. We did not see her in these trailers, but she's going to be back. What role do you think that she'll play? Do you think that maybe Finn and the rest of the Resistance will run into her on another planet? Or do you think it's possible that she could even show up on Ahch-To?
I think that's I think that's who Rey's talking to when she says, I need somebody to help me find my place in this world.
Okay, that's a good theory.
Because Maz Kanata, it's Maz Kanata's castle, where Rey gets the lightsabers, where she has her vision.
It's where Maz tells her it's there, it's always been there, and she repeats that kind of line at the beginning of the trailer.
And if there is a follow-up between Luke and Rey, which, again, I don't think is going to be necessarily a knockdown, drag-out type of confrontation, but it would make sense for Rey to go back to Maz and see what, you know, to find out. So that's where I think she's going to fit in, but I'm basing that on nothing.
No, it's a good theory, though. I think it would be really cool to see Maz interact with Luke. Like, maybe they did wind up teaming up or discussing, you know, theories and that kind of thing before everything went wrong with the Jedi, with the new Jedi Academy. Benicio del Toro is in this movie. He'll be debuting a new character known as DJ. Who has been referred to as a code breaker or slicer that the Resistance seemingly has to work with, whether they like it or not.
So an expert, the expert hacker they need.
Yes, the expert hacker. All of the pieces kind of seem to be fitting together that they're still trying to steal things from the First Order, but they're going about it in a little bit of a backdoor way. Poe Dameron, we really don't know what he's up to in this movie. He's looking out windows.
I think I saw him scampering across the flight deck.
Yep, and then X-wings are blowing up in front of him.
But he could have planted the explosives on those X-wings for all we know.
Yeah, who knows? Well, he was running towards them, and then they blew up. So
maybe he was like, "Shit, I set that timer."
Oh no.
That was my ship. What the hell?
Swing, no! God damn it, BB-8! Why'd you leave the detonator behind?
Right, so we don't know what's going on there.
BB-8 is hanging around, of course. He'll be around. No R2 and 3PO in these trailers. I mean, they're in the movie, presumably, but I don't remember seeing them once.
I can't say that I remember seeing them either.
Yeah. Man, come on. There are the real heroes in these movies. Where are they?
Well, Kenny passed away. Rest in peace.
Yep, that's true. Anthony Daniels is still here, though.
He's waiting for a phone call to do...
anything.
Star Wars Episode 9?
Yeah. They'll be filming that pretty quick, I would think.
And he did lend his voice to, I don't know, something else.
All C-3PO in something else?
Right. He did C-3PO in like the Han Solo movie, he has a cameo.
It's possible, but I that would be stretching it a little bit, I think.
I'm just kidding. I'm just saying anything. They're like, hey, Anthony, we have something for C-3. I'm there.
Where do I have to be? I'll buy the plane ticket right now.
No, I've already got the website up. Where am I buying the ticket to?
And another new cast member, Laura Dern, joining the cast as Vice Admiral Amelyn Holdo, I believe it is. She is a childhood friend and ally of Leia. Her character was introduced in the book Leia, Princess of Alderaan. And Leia's kind of, in her teenage years, kind of learning how to represent her people, learning, you know, kind of going about one of her first heroic encounters. And Amelyn is a little, apparently very much, she's been compared to Luna Lovegood from the Harry Potter series. She was kind of weird, just kind of a weirdo. She's got like pink hair, basically, or like lavender hair, something in that range. And apparently she's a vice admiral at this point. So she got involved as a key figure in the resistance, believed Leia, and now she's...
the admiral in charge of all the vices.
Yes. All the gambling. Hey, it's funny that we mentioned that there will be a gambling planet in the movie, too, called Canto Bight. And we've seen a couple of photos from that set in the Vanity Fair magazine shoot, but we haven't seen any footage of it on screen yet. I'm thinking that they wanted to hold off that surprise. That's the other cool thing about these trailers. I mean, we can sit here talking about, oh man, this might happen and this might happen. Oh, Rey and Kylo, what are they going to do? The trailers kind of almost entirely focus on the Rey, Kylo, Luke story. There's so many other pieces of this movie. It's a 2.5 hour movie. And we're going to get everything. You know, I feel like this could be one of the richest Star Wars movies for story material ever.
Plus, you don't know if any of those scenes that you saw in the trailers are actually in the movie.
That's true. They could wind up on the cutting room floor, just like in Rogue One.
Yep. So it's something that we saw in a trailer that we are basing something off of.
Though, I will say, Rogue One was a different kind of beast. Because Rogue One, they had an idea, you know, Gareth Edwards, the director, I think he had an idea for what he wanted the movie to be, and Lucasfilm kind of stepped in and was like, so this is actually where we want to go with it, and they wound up reshooting a lot of stuff. There were a lot of reshoots for Rogue One, so...
So all I'm saying is I saw this really cool scene with Rey standing on the end of a platform and a TIE fighter rising
with
up...
Jin, sorry.
With Jin standing on the end of a platform and a TIE fighter rising up. And I was excited to see that happen in the movie. And that didn't happen in the movie. I don't think that detracted from Rogue One as much as, like, the ending. But any of the scenes that we saw in these trailers could be like that. They could end up on the floor. Now, like you said, it's a different animal. So they're telling the Luke, Rey, Kylo story here, obviously. And they're going to focus on that, we know. But, also like you said, there are a lot of other characters going in. We know that we're going to get to see Finn. We know we're going to get to see Poe Dameron. Because they're fan favorites.
When you were looking at the footage from the movie, especially in that first trailer that we watched, which was the formal cinematic trailer for the movie, did you see the differences in how things were being shot? Did you see the differences in how things were being presented that Rian Johnson seems to be bringing to the table as director?
Differences compared to episode...
compared to any, episode, you know, seven. Compared to the George Lucas directed Star Wars, compared to J.J. Abrams.
To be honest with you, I didn't really notice a whole lot. Okay. I mean, there were some things, and I don't think these are director points, like I noticed that the AT-ATs changed, and I'm excited for that. I mean, that's probably stupid, and most people don't care. But the AT-AT feet looked really different now. They look kind of like curled gorilla hands.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool.
I've heard them being compared to, like, dogs.
So I noticed that, and those are things I noticed, some stylistic changes. But I didn't really pay a lot of, I didn't notice a huge difference between, you know, shot composition and...
I definitely did. I can tell, watching these trailers, that this movie is being made by a different person. Like, from the ground up. Which is really cool. I think J.J. Abrams definitely put his footprint on Force Awakens, but at the same time, his goal was to recreate the feeling of Star Wars. And I feel like because of that, he probably wanted to try and make it as much like the original trilogy in its storytelling and its composition as possible. I don't think that this film has those handcuffs. I think that now that they've introduced the new characters, Rian Johnson's going to make a movie, and he has made a film, probably, that will be unlike any other Star Wars film we've ever seen. In terms of what they're willing to do on screen with the characters. At least that's the hunch that I have.
Well, I hope you're right, but I have reservations.
Right. I don't know if you should, because here's another big thing. I mean, we know that the Lucasfilm executives apparently trust Rian Johnson so much that they've put him in charge of a new 3-part Star Wars story.
Okay.
You, this is a shock to you?
No, I just don't necessarily think that that means they automatically deserve my trust again.
I'm saying that they feel that he's knocked this out of the park to such a degree that they are now willing to bank on him for 3 movies, like 3 more. They're calling it a new Star Wars trilogy. Now, granted, it is not 10, 11, 12.
I was going to say, that's the important part of that announcement to me.
Right.
The fact that they decided to pick the same director, they may love the movie, and that doesn't necessarily mean I will. Or they may have creative differences halfway through filming the first episode of that new trilogy and go their separate ways. That happens. So I'm not... The part that I'm excited about is they seem to be taking Star Wars in a new direction, and... at least at that point, that we're going to get an episode 8, we're going to get an episode 9, and then the saga is done.
For now.
And
I don't think, I mean, I think it's a realistic possibility that maybe we wait 10 years, let the actors age, let the actors kind of do their thing for a while. But when Star Wars comes calling again, and eventually it will, I think that these characters, these people, will probably be brought back and will probably get a sequel trilogy after that.
Well, I think they may show up in new material.
And they've mentioned that, too. You know, Kathleen Kennedy, I think that might be who you were describing as the head of the story,
yeah,
quote-unquote. The Lucasfilm president, I believe, is her official title. She... has said, you know, we've been talking about the next 10 years of Star Wars stories and where we're taking these characters from here. You know, what stories you're going to see Finn in and Poe and Rey. You know, where are they going to go and how are we going to present them? And who knows, they might get their own solo movie, so to speak.
Well, and even if they have a team-up movie or they get together, the thing is the saga formula... the bad guy, Force-centric, battle between light and dark, which has driven Star Wars for such a long time, there is a possibility that that will be wrapped, at least for that story. And we may see a Finn story, we may see a Rey story, we may see a Rey trilogy or a Rey and Kylo trilogy or a Kylo, I don't know what you call two movies together, a duo?
A set.
Or a series, maybe 5 Kylo Ren movies. But it's not going to be this core saga. It's not going to be a continuation of the core saga. And I think that's good, because I think diversifying it only makes the Star Wars universe a better, more lived-in, and expansive area to tell more stories. Because while we're following the Skywalker family, and it's a cool story, I love it, don't get me wrong, but there are criminals in the lowest levels of Coruscant, and people wearing capes on Bespin, and smugglers besides Han Solo, and bounty hunters that are good at their job, who sit and curse Boba Fett the way we do. You know, we could get a story from Bosk sitting there telling his grandkids, and I was a better bounty hunter, but that damn Boba Fett gets all the press. You know, and we could see those stories because we can get away from this core saga, and I want that. I want more.
Well, you and I both know that even the idea of Rogue One, I think to the casual fan, was a tough sell. Because it wasn't that Force-centric, you know. It was totally different than any other Star Wars movie that had come before it.
But if we break this saga thing, we can have Force-sensitive characters tied in the Jedi-Sith.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't break the saga thing. Of course, you have to at some point. I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see it will be interesting to see if this new Star Wars trilogy, let's say, you know, Rian Johnson makes a new trilogy, maybe you have a Force-sensitive character in it, but they're not the main character. And, you know, and you're often in it, because they've claimed that they're going to be doing a part of the Star Wars galaxy that has never been explored. Brand new story, brand new characters, not linked to the world that we know, the saga that we know. Is a general audience, as many people who go and watch the saga films today, I mean, they're not all going to go watch another Star Wars movie.
Yes, they will.
I don't think so. Not everybody went to go watch Rogue One. The Force Awakens was the number one highest grossing movie in the history of the United States of America.
But Rogue One still did okay.
Rogue One did great. Right.
Right, not every movie is going to be The Force Awakens.
Right, but that's my point. I would not be surprised if The Last Jedi did close. Even my mom, my mother, who has really not cared about Star Wars for a while, she made the comment to me, this new Star Wars movie is going to be something big, huh? Because she's seeing it you know what I mean? Like, it's permeating. It's getting to the core of our pop culture. And I feel like without that saga influence, there just will eventually come a time, not to you and me, but to the general person on the street, where the new Star Wars movie is not going to be a big deal.
See, and I think the way they're ending the saga, and I think this is kind of what The Last Jedi is about, the core conflict in the saga is Sith versus Jedi.
And you think that they're trying to diversify that the saga now?
I think that's what The Last Jedi is about. They're ending the Sith-Jedi conflict. And so we're going to see it end in 8. And then in 9, they're going to introduce us to what the universe has become as the end of the saga. And then after that, it's just going to be a whatever they want to do. And that way, you're not ending the universe we know and love, but you're just expanding it, but you're getting rid of this dichotomy of light and dark, Sith and Jedi, that has constrained the saga since its inception.
Sure. Except that we are already dealing with something different, because we're not dealing with the Sith.
But we haven't called them the Sith, but they're taking the same role. They're doing the same thing. Sure. And I think in the future you're going to see evil characters, bad guys, who might use traditional Jedi powers. Maybe they don't use lightsabers, but maybe they do something else. And you're going to start seeing those kind of characters who may or may not be the focal point of a story. But they're not going to be Jedi. They're not going to be whatever name we want to call the Force people who oppose the Jedi. And that's where I think we're going to... Because the First Order is like the Empire. You know what I mean? The First Order aren't all Force users. They're stormtroopers. Kylo, the Knights of Ren, and Supreme Leader Snoke are Force users. They're kind of a separate entity within, kind of like the Sith were within the Empire. That's my theory, is that that's what The Last Jedi is doing. It's getting rid of that Sith-Jedi dichotomy, that light-dark side. And then the ninth series will introduce us to what the world, or the ninth movie will introduce us to what the world is going to be moving forward. At least that's my hope.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Pardon me.
The cool thing is that we do have a whole 30-year period to work with between Jedi and Force Awakens that, you know, is relatively unexplored. So I think that there's a lot of fertile ground there for figuring out how all these pieces fit together.
I actually hope they stay away from that area, because it's going to be too tempting for them to stick another creepy computer animated Carrie Fisher in.
What do you mean?
If they start doing stories that take place between Return and Force Awakens, they're going to be too tempted to throw in characters that, you know, from the original trilogy, which are going to end up being computer animated. And while Tarkin was all right, I was not a fan of computer animated Leia.
Yeah, but I mean, we saw her for 5 seconds. And that technology is only going to get better. I guess that actually brings up another interesting question. I've got this one, and I've got one more for you. Obviously, we lost Carrie Fisher. Terrible loss. And 9 was supposed to kind of be her movie, according to everyone involved, really. According to Kathleen Kennedy, according to Mark Hamill. I don't know what her end is going to be. They seem to imply that Kylo Ren will attack Leia, or possibly have the chance to attack Leia at some point in this film. But it sort of seems clear. They said they didn't make any changes to the overall narrative of 8, which means I would be shocked if she died. Because if 9 was supposed to be her movie, then she probably survives this one. So if that is the case, and they're not going to do it because the wound is still too fresh. Are you in favor of, at any point in the future, let's say you're doing a Resistance movie, you know, that's set 5 years after the events of 9, and Leia is still alive and still supposed to be a part of the Resistance. Are you at all in favor of recasting the role? Because I do think that there comes a point where the character is big enough and important enough that it shouldn't necessarily matter who's playing her, as long as you can get someone who is of similar stature. You know, like
I would rather have them recast it than reuse that animation that they did. It was so bad.
Right, me too. I would rather have them recast it than digitally put anybody's face on anybody.
What I would actually rather have them do is get the guys who did Rebels and Clone Wars, do it that way. let's do that. That's the new series there. It's after Rebels. Let's do the Resistance as a new Disney XD animated Star Wars.
So then we figure out how Leia, how her story ends. We figure it out in animation.
Oh, I thought you were talking about filling in the gap, that 30-year gap.
No, I was talking about
in the future, Leia's story.
Right.
That's a hard one.
She can't just die off screen. She's way too important of a character for that.
That would make me sad if they just had her die off screen. I think that they would almost have to recast it, but I think it's too soon for them to do it right now.
That's what I mean. That I know that they will not do that for 9 because... Now I'm the one coughing. They just won't.
Well, they might have enough footage already recorded that they...
I don't know. I think it was her brother. I think it was Carrie's brother who had, he had said something to the press of like, we've been told, you know, like her family had been told that they still plan on including Carrie in 9 using like archived footage, you know, like basically like maybe even splitting the footage that they shot between 8 and 9. But then Kathleen Kennedy came out very soon afterwards kind of saying, don't read into that really. Like I don't think that they fully understood what we were talking about. That being said, maybe he gave something away.
Could be.
And maybe they do actually have a plan and they're able to use footage of Carrie for 9 in a way that is going to send the character off in a fitting way. One can only hope. Last question for you. I've heard a lot of clamoring, especially for the new trilogy that's coming, that people really want a return to the old Republic. Okay? They want something in that realm of Star Wars. But I tend to think that there's a good chance that we, at least for the next 15 to 20 years, may not get a movie that comes before Episode 1.
Was there a question in there, Your
Honor? What do you think? Do you think that there's... What do you think the chances are that we get a prequel film that is set before the events of Episode 1?
I don't want there to be a prequel film set before the events of Episode 1. Because, and this is going to sound like a stupid reason, but it's a problem we had with the prequels, and it's a problem that you will always have with prequels. Not just Star Wars. As technology gets better, movies look better. I had a real problem with the fact that the tech looked so good before the original trilogy. You know what I mean? Like, for some reason, the entire Galactic Empire regressed technologically.
Sure.
And I think that that's a danger that you run into. And I think that that's something that your fan base watching a prequel will notice that. And new fans who watch the new movies, and then that's the gateway to the existing library, will then be disappointed.
I guess.
And like the original trilogy, there's a lot of practical effects. So if you manage to find an original cut, that holds up pretty well.
They'll be disappointed until they, you know, make new versions of 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
Which you could already argue that they've laid the groundwork for by casting a new Han Solo. Right? I mean, all they'd have to do is find a new Luke and a new Leia.
Which they may, because they may do Luke and Leia movies.
They already have a new Chewbacca. You know? Junis Swantamo? I forget how to pronounce his name exactly, but it's somewhere around there. You know
who they haven't recast yet?
Who?
C-3PO.
That's true. Well, you know what? Anthony's still alive and kicking, so... As long as he's alive, he can be in... Imagine that. If Anthony Daniels survives to the point where they're making new... Like, remaking 4, 5, and 6, and he can be in them. He'll be in both sets. He'll be C-3PO in both the original 4 and the new 4.
You know what? I really hope that he does. I hope that he does. As much as I give C-3PO crap, and as much as he annoys me in the movies, God bless Anthony Daniels. You know, I love that man, and I actually love C-3PO.
Well, this conversation...
As long as he doesn't have a red arm.
That's right.
Then I don't know who he is.
I think he got the gold arm back at the end of Force Awakens, so we should see gold-armed C-3PO in Last Jedi. And that was clearly the most important part of this conversation.
Right, right.
Absolutely, and that's where we're going to end it. We wound up talking about, of course, a lot more than just The Last Jedi, because that's how we roll around here.
Did we spend more than an hour talking about, like, 15 minutes of trailers?
No, we talked about a lot of the future.
The hell is wrong with us? We both need to get lives.
We talked about a lot of the future of the saga as well. This is what we do, Ben.
I know.
We care a lot about this stuff, okay?
Too much, some might say.
Yeah, I think that some might say. But hopefully, if you're listening to this, you don't think that we care too much. We probably care just as much as you do. And if there was something that we missed or something you're looking forward to in the future of the Star Wars saga, make sure you hit us up on Facebook or at our email, newjediarchives@gmail.com. That is always available for you to send something to. Please download this episode and send it to your friends. Ben, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that's New Jedi Archives, all lowercase, all smushed together, one word.
Yes.
No underscores, no spaces,
no dots.
No
spaces at gmail.com, because we cut the bullshit here.
I spread it. Zach tries to cut it. I spread it thick.
This is it, Ben. Our last episode in the old world. We will be in a brave new world 2 weeks from now when we will talk about our actual experience viewing The Last Jedi.
Where we will talk about how wrong we were about the things we just talked about.
I will try to watch it as many times as I can in between now and our next recording session and have, hopefully, I mean, you know, we're going to have to pore over this movie when it finally comes out on Blu-ray and, you know, digital and home video, so we'll be able to get a much deeper look at it then. But I do have a thing called Movie Pass, which will help me see the movie quite a good many times for a good, very, very small amount of money.
Are they sponsoring us, Zach?
No, of course not.
Well, they should if you're going to plug them.
Okay, well, we have 50 listeners on average every week, so.
And that's 50 subscribers to MoviePass that they could have.
I guess you're right, but no, they are not paying me. I'm paying them for the privilege of using their service. I don't know, look it up. It's pretty good. I like it anyway. Thank you, and like I said, please share this with your Star Wars-loving friends if you enjoy the New Jedi Archives. I think that's just about it for this week. Ben, may the Force be with you.
And also with you, Zach.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCASTS.com.